Scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Galatians. This will be my text today. I'm going to visit with you about Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Paul goes on writing to the Galatian Christians. He writes and he says in verse 13, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of a sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The Word of God for the people of God. I have had the privilege of preaching the gospel for 40 plus years. There have been times, though, when I have misspoken. There have been times, like this morning, when I gave the announcement about the picnic, when I was just wrong. And there have been times when I was misunderstood. And there probably have been some sermons when all of the above was true. But I'm going to tell you briefly about a sermon I preached a number of years ago, which I believe would classify as the sermon I preached that was the most misunderstood. Now, the reason that sermon was misunderstood was because of the way I concluded it. Now, when they teach us to preach, and I think Jim will testify to this because he taught preaching. When they teach us to preach, they tell us the most important parts of the sermon. There are two: the introduction and the conclusion. The reason for that is because you kind of lose people in between. Well, I concluded the sermon this way. And I thought I concluded it masterfully, all right? But I said, repent and do what you want. Now, in my defense, I was paraphrasing St. Augustine. He preached a sermon one time from the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 4 through 12. And he said, love God and do as you please. Now, I thought St. Augustine was pretty good company, theologically. And to be clear today, while you're still listening, neither myself nor St. Augustine were saying that in Christ we are free to sin. The rub, though, is that there is something in us that is pleased by sin. I'll never forget, Jim, when you preached here a few months ago. It's been a while now. I can't remember. But you kind of did a little number on the old hymn, I Was Sinking Deep in Sin. You remember that? I was sinking deep in sin. Whee! He does it better than me. But you get the picture, right? There is something in us that is pleased by sin. There is something in us that wants to sin. As a matter of fact, St. Augustine actually said, the sweetest fruit is stolen fruit. Have you ever heard that? Now, where I grew up, my preacher used to say it this way. He paraphrased Augustine, too. He said, the sweetest watermelons are stolen watermelons. Can I get a witness? Better not. However, there is something, I believe, even deeper in us that longs to be free from sin. Come on. Paul wrote in Galatians that what he called our sinful nature, that's how it's translated in the New International Version. In the Old King James, it's translated our flesh, and I believe that's literally the translation. He said that what he calls the sinful nature, what's translated the sinful nature in our Bibles, lives in conflict with the Holy Spirit. Now, I contend that the Spirit here in Paul's letter to the Galatian churches represents who we most truly are as human beings. Now, there are those who would argue against that, who would disagree with me, because they would say that deepest, we are totally depraved. But I believe that when God created us, and I think Scripture bears this out, that God created us in His image, in His likeness. And that what is truest about us is that which looks like God. I contend that the Spirit represents who we most truly are, God's image bearers, the Imago Dei, the children of God. Now, the way I've come to understand the flesh, as it is presented in Scripture, is as our ungoverned appetites. Any of you guys have any appetites? You ever get thirsty? You have an appetite for what? Water. Or, I don't know. Whoa. Bad question. Have an appetite for food. We have an appetite to be loved. We have an appetite for sex. We have an appetite for lots of stuff. And appetites are not in and of themselves. They're not bad. They're not negative. There's nothing wrong with them. They're gifts from God. They keep us alive. They keep us healthy. They keep us whole. However, when our appetites are ungoverned, they can cause problems. The flesh is the idea of the appetite ruling the person. It's what Abraham Lincoln called, of our sinful nature is what Abraham Lincoln called in his inaugural address, our better angels. And we do have, as Paul writes here in Galatians, the sinful nature and the nature that God created us with, the nature that we speak of as being fallen, the nature that is subject not to God's leading or God's Spirit or God's will or God's intent, but the nature that just wants immediate gratification. And Paul writes and he says that these two natures contend against each other. And they keep us from doing what we truly want to do. Now, the way I just read it from the NIV a moment ago was, we can't just do whatever we want to do. That's what was wrong with my sermon, right? People went away thinking I was preaching they could do just anything, anytime that they had an inclination to do at any moment, according to their impulses. And you know, I don't feel completely awful about that, because I've heard it said and I've heard it taught that if you don't preach grace so strong that it can be mistaken for license, you haven't really preached grace. Because that's what they accused Paul of teaching. and preaching. That's what those who were opposed to the gospel back in the days the New Testament was written, that's what they said was bad about it. They said that Paul preached and the other apostles preached that you could just do whatever you wanted to anytime and it was okay. They were saying that God just loves to forgive us, so let's just tickle him to death and sin like crazy. They said, we all know that's bunk. And yet, if you don't look carefully, if you don't think carefully, it can almost appear that that's what the Scripture teaches. But the Bible says that there are two natures. There are two wants, two longings within us. I'm quoted from a great theologian a minute ago, Augustine. I want to quote from another great theologian now, Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan said, you got to serve somebody. Some of you are going to serve the Lord. Some of you are going to serve the devil. In Romans 7, Paul wrote, the things I want to do, anybody remember what he said? I don't do. And the things I don't want to do wind up being the very things that I, yeah. He describes it as a wretched state. And I believe that's where John Newton got the words to the song that he wrote. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I don't think he was talking about himself as being worthless. But I think he was talking about the state of having that longing to be who God created him to be and yet having that battle that raged within him. Paul describes what our ungoverned appetites do. He says it's their works, what they produce when we just let them lead us, when we just let them rule our lives. And I like the way Eugene Peterson in the Message translates them. I read them to you a moment ago from the NIV, but this is how Peterson translates them. A repetitive, loveless, cheap life of indiscriminate sex. Mental, emotional garbage. Frenzied and joyous grabs for happiness. Trinket gods. Magic show religion. Any of y'all ever been to any of that? Participated in it? Paranoid loneliness. Cutthroat competition. All consuming yet never satisfied wants. A brutal temper. An impotence to love and be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded, lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival. Uncontrolled and uncontrollable addiction, ugly parodies of community. And he says, I could go on. I'm thankful he didn't, aren't you? The fruit of living out of God's orchard, though, is affection for others, exuberance about life, a willingness to stick to things. A sense of compassion in the heart. A sense that there is a basic holiness that permeates things and people. He writes, he translates, we find ourselves in loyal commitment, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our lives wisely. Now, which of those two lists, and there are two lists there, you can look at them in your Bibles if you'd like to, but which of those two lists, I wonder, sounds most like you? I asked myself this question as I was working to get ready to preach this morning. I said, which sounds more like me?
And I had to be honest, and I had to say both of them. Anybody else identify with what I'm saying? As we celebrate this week our nation's history and our birthday and the principles our country is founded upon, I think of America when I read this. Principles our nation was founded upon versus how we as Americans sometimes behave. It's interesting. Declaration of Independence was probably one of the greatest pieces of literature ever penned. You read it, you can't help but be inspired. And yet, the Declaration of, what's the title of the Declaration of what? Independence was written by a man who was a slave owner. Does that make you scratch your head? A man who history, the evidence of history, tells us committed gross sexual abuse of at least one of those slaves, Sally Hemings. In the name of manifest destiny, we have committed practical genocide against those indigenous people who were here first. And we excuse it by saying, well, they were already doing it to each other anyway. Now, my purpose, before you get the rope out, my purpose is not to denigrate America. I believe America is good. I believe we have high ideals, and I believe that we have great aspirations. I recently visited Washington, D.C. I went to the Lincoln Memorial. I walked past the Washington Monument. I went to the Jefferson Memorial. I went by the Vietnam Wall. And my heart was touched every time I go there. There's just something in me that I want to weep because I feel that I am in a place that celebrates greatness, great ideals. But everything about us is not good. I also visited the Museum of African American History. If you get the opportunity, go there. Because it will break and inspire your heart. The same is true of the church. Abuse of power is something that the church has in her history. Sexual abuse is part of our history. Not just the Catholics, but Protestants as well. So what do we do with that? We do what Paul teaches here. We do what Jesus taught. As Americans, we cannot give up striving to live out the vision of our founding fathers, weak as those fathers may have been. But rather, like we do this week, we should celebrate them. We must, to do that, admit when we are missing the mark. The same is true for church and for Christians. This, my friends, this is the freedom that we celebrate, not only as Americans, but as those who put our faith in Christ. Knowing who we truly are, striving to be true to that which is deepest and best in us. Reaching for the life of God that He offers us, just as we offered bread and wine this morning. That symbolizes to us that Jesus offers to fill us with His life. Those who give in to base, ungoverned appetites, Paul says, will never inherit God's kingdom. And what that means is you're never going to know what it means to really be alive. Spiritual warfare is what we're talking about. When I read the Psalms, my understanding is that they're given to us to symbolize not human beings that we want to destroy, those warfare Psalms, but they are the worst in ourselves that God calls us to be victorious over. They are God's enemies that are to be destroyed. The enemy of my flesh, the enemy of selfishness, the enemy of my basest nature, the enemy of the part of me that is afraid, and so afraid that I cannot trust the goodness of the wonderful faithfulness of God in this world where I live. That's how I understand the fire and the brimstone and the blood and the gore of Revelation. I believe it's not about God wiping out humanity. I believe it's about God wiping out which is the darkest in humanity. That's the promise of the gospel. That's what we preach. That's what we work for. That's what this church is about. Do you believe that? You say, well, maybe. Freedom. Freedom is walking with the Spirit so much that when we miss a step, which is what sin is, by the way, we recognize it, we repent, we confess, and we put to death whatever is hindering us so that our true hearts can breathe and thrive. One of my favorite movies, and you'll laugh, Robin Williams movie, Hook. How many of you have seen it? And there is this one scene where Peter Pan is having to go up against Hook, and he's afraid, and he can't do it, and he's overwhelmed. And Wendy says to him, Peter, don't you know who you are? And I think Jesus says to us, Jack, don't you know who you are? I think he says, Johnny, don't you know who you are? When we fail, when we fall, we think it's over, we're done, there's no more, he's finished with us. He says, Ed, don't you know who you are? You're my son, you're my boy. He says, Fran, whatever it is you're struggling with, whatever it is you feel like is bigger than you, he says, Fran, don't you know who you are? Today, I will not conclude the sermon the way I did many years ago. I shall repent. I have confessed, and I will try to do better. Repent. Get in step with the Spirit, and stay in step with the Spirit, knowing that God loves you and is leading you to be free to know and to be who you are. Shall we stand? For this is what God invites us to today and always.
fruitful.